Well, it has surely been a super week, fitting for a superhero as we wind down Vacation Bible School today. Our scripture comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So this is the second part of our mini-series about superheroes. And a little bit about last week. We talked about what it meant to be the heart of a have a heart of the superhero. And that's how Vacation Bible School started. We talked about what it meant to have the heart of a superhero. They talked about the courage of a superhero, the hope of a superhero. Now, last week, I gave you a little bit of a wrong information. Actually, Superman, because I thought it was 1933, it was actually 1938 that Superman came to print. So I wanted to get that out there, that I told you wrong. You know, that's just, don't want my pride getting out of the way. It's good to be vulnerable and wrong every once in a while. So this week we're talking about the power of a superhero. So one of my favorite characters growing up was a character that, let's see, what his original name, and I want to see if you know who he is. So his original name was Billy Batson. Oh, somebody's excited. Somebody's excited. What was Billy Batson's transformative word? And you have to say it. You have to say it like, say it, Cameron. Oh, come on. You got to do it with Shazam. Shazam. And who did he transform into? Yeah. He turned into Captain Marvel. That's who he is. Now, Shazam was actually, what do you call those things where every letter stands for something? What is that, an acronym? All right. So this was Captain Marvel's acronym. When he said Shazam, he transformed into Captain Marvel, who had the wisdom of Solomon. He had the strength of Hercules. He had the stamina of Atlas. He had the power of Zeus. There's your Z. Courage of Achilles. and the speed of Mercury. And when he transformed and he had his cape, he had all of these, and he was transformed into a superhero that made a difference and impact in the place in which he lived. Now, Captain Marvel had other superheroes around him as he went on in the comic books. He had superheroes with him. But we're not, oftentimes we live in community. When we are in activity and we are doing great things, oftentimes we don't do it by ourselves. We do this in community. But not just on our own power. We see in this scripture that God gives these leaders a part of God's self. The power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power that Jesus had been promising them. He told his disciples, I'm going to send you the advocate. I have told you this many times. Jesus had to go away. He said, I have to go away so that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, can come and be with you. And I'm going to tell you one more time, that is extremely important. That Jesus says he has to go away so that you can receive. That's pretty important stuff. And it's not something that we should ever take for granted. We may not be transformed like Billy Batson when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, but we are transformed. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about this transformation and what it means to have the Holy Spirit. So if we were to compare, what does it look like when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? For superheroes, they get all kinds of superpowers. For Jean Grey, it's what? Part of the X-Men. Telekinesis. She can read minds, and it was so overwhelming that they had to limit her as a small child. They had to give her boundaries for that because her power was so overwhelmingly great. What about Spider-Man? What is his superpowers? Spider webs. He can climb up buildings. He can capture people with webs. Strength. Crazy strength. What about Thor? What does Thor have? Good looks. Besides good looks. He has his hammer. He almost can pretty much go undefeated. It's hard to think of a situation where Thor would be defeated. What about Superman? In a single bound. That's right. He can fly. When you see him up in the sky, you're not sure. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? What is that? Superman. What about Batman? He has a utility belt. Super cool stuff. Yeah. What about Iron Man? He has a suit. What about the Green Lantern? He has what? Kato. Very good. All these superheroes have a superpower about them. I would say if Jesus is the Savior of the world, Jesus gives back to his community, and we have something supernatural, something super within us, the power of the Holy Spirit that's taking the ordinary and, just like any superhero, making them extraordinary. It may not be as apparent. None of us are going to be able to possibly read minds, but every once in a while we might get a special knowing or a revelation from God. We may not be able to shoot laser beams out of our eyeballs, and I'm really glad for that, because if I had that superpower, it would be a whole lot of destruction going on. But there are times when God opens our eyes and we are able to see things that we were blinded to before. There are times when we are able to see with our heart where before we could not. It was like that we had blinders on. We may not have super hearing. Some of us are going through a season where we are losing our hearing, but there are times when we hear cries of pain that we never thought would touch our soul like sometimes they do, and we know that we need to help. We may not have the resources of Batman or Iron Man, but God has blessed us with just enough to make a difference in someone else's life. Just with the simple resources that God gave us, taking the ordinary and making it absolutely extraordinary. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. What does this mean for us? Especially as we move on in our life and this world, even though God blessed it is good, there are so many challenges. And we talked a little bit about this last week. And, you know, several weeks we've talked about how this world can harden our hearts to where there are times when we don't feel anything, where we do not have the heart of a superhero. We become callous and cynical, hard-hearted, desensitized. How much violence and bloodshed and sorrow and outcry does it take to make us feel anything when a stranger is hurting? How much does it take for our righteous indignation to rise up within us and call out for change? And sometimes we wonder when we really look at ourselves, at our cynical, callous selves, we think, wow, how is God going to work through this? Sometimes it's easier to see our callous, cynical friends and go, how is God going to work through that? But a lot of times we're just like them. One of the things is the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to get through to us. And because we build up these walls, because we don't, one of the reasons we are become callous and cynical is because we don't like to feel pain. So we find ways to not feel pain. We put up walls. We burn bridges. We put up blinders so that we don't have to feel pain anymore. But one of the things about the power of the superhero is they can't ignore the outcry of help. That's what makes them so beautiful to us. That's why we're so drawn to their stories, is because they have a deep sense of empathy and justice. They want to change the world. But as long as we put up these walls to protect ourselves, we can't enter into the fray. Because we become ruled by our own fear, our fear of being hurt. God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. Because along with fear comes cowardice. I gave you a different kind of spirit. So what kind of spirit is this? The Spirit's trying to reach into you all around you, but you're going to have to tear down some of these walls. You're going to have to stir up the Spirit within you to be able to break down some of these walls, to become vulnerable enough to be able to see and to hear and to feel like God's calling you out to be. One of the biggest jobs, the hardest jobs that the Holy Spirit has within you and me is to become, make us more Christ-like. Remember, a long time ago, we talked about that's the one needful thing. That's our one goal in life, is to become more like Christ, to reclaim that image of God that humanity was created in us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us, making us more Christ-like. That's a tough job. Have you seen me? Have you seen the person next to you? Have you looked at yourself in the mirror? That's a hard job to become Christ-like. And we cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit, the very essence of God, God's self, living within us and being open to the Spirit's goodness in our life. So having that Spirit stirred up within us, things begin to happen. So we want that Holy Spirit rekindled in our life. Paul wrote this to Timothy. He was mentoring Timothy. He says in chapter 1, verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." The Holy Spirit is one that you have a relationship with. And if you feel like that relationship has dwindled or you're questioning the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, the truth is God never leaves you or forsakes you. It means that you've got these walls up. You've got these blinders up. You're desensitized to what's going on in the world. You don't want to hear the message of the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, you have the power to make a difference." "Oh, no, I don't." La, 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 la. That's what most of us are doing. Because we don't want the responsibility. We would love to say, "Let someone else do it." And the more we tell ourselves that, the more we become deaf to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. So one of the first things we have to do is rekindle that relationship, to spend time in prayer, to pray for you to hear the voice, to sense the voice, to see the work of the Spirit all around us, and for God to reveal the need all around us. And God does reveal through the power of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. Those things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. There are things that you will learn in this world. All kinds of things. There's so much to know. It is overwhelming. Good things and bad things. But there is something about God's presence, your relationship with God, things about Christ, things about the Creator, things about the Holy Spirit that you can only know through your relationship with God. It is not anything that this world will teach you. There's this whole chunk of understanding of who you are and who you belong to that you can only receive through your relationship with God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we go on with our blinders and our deaf ears, we are missing out on the joy of living. We're missing out on a piece of understanding. A part of our heart is just completely turned off. For it is God who brings us to life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sure, your heart is beating. Sure, your lungs are taking in air and exhaling. Sure, your body is working in ways that it was created to work. But there's something within our spirit that God brings forth to life in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. This deeper understanding of who we are and who everyone else is. That this compassion lights up within us and we want to change the world. We want God's kingdom to come. One of the things that, there's always a great line in every comic. One of my favorites is Uncle Ben to Peter Parker. With great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. The problem is none of us want the responsibility. But yet God chooses to work through us, making the ordinary, because we do, we feel so very ordinary, into something so very extraordinary. The Gospel of Luke puts this way, what Uncle Ben said to Peter Parker. Luke writes, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded." We have expectations of God. Those expectations go both ways. God has expectations of you. Not just expectations, but great plans and great ideas. That if you would just open your heart to the potential of what you can be through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's hard work. It's great responsibility. I know that you feel so very ordinary. I feel so very ordinary. I feel so very lackluster. I'm the furthest thing removed from a superhero that could be. And sometimes I feel like I'm so very removed from even a believer in Jesus Christ. Because it's not easy. And I would love for someone else to take over. I understand that. I completely understand that. Because not only with great power from the Holy Spirit, it is partnered with this great vulnerability. How many of you like to be vulnerable? Huh? Nobody raised their hand. Me neither. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't like to be wrong, and I don't like to be vulnerable. I don't like feeling out of control. But yet, to follow Christ, to surrender to the presence of the Holy Spirit, takes vulnerability. It takes admitting that my plans are wrong. It takes swallowing my pride and surrendering control to a higher being where I have no idea what God's plans are. And I try my best not to let it scare me out of my wits. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not, but at least I am trying. In Romans, Paul writes this. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself feel confident about you, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowing, and able to instruct one another." Filled with goodness, filled with all knowing, equipped to be able to live in community with one another, living with one another. Early on in Romans, he says this about the new life, because the Holy Spirit does give you new life. We've heard in Galatians chapter 5 that the Holy Spirit brings peace and joy, goodness and kindness, gentleness, generosity, all these things most times we feel like we are not. That we are so far from a sense of peace, that we are so filled with anxiety some days, that we are so far removed from a sense of compassion, we carry so much bitterness and anger. We feel so far removed from a sense of generosity because we live in the idea of scarcity, even though we live in great abundance. It is the Holy Spirit that brings this to us, this sense of joy and generosity and goodness. Paul writes this in Romans, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you here, now, today." We're not talking about power in the afterlife, living on with God for eternity. We're talking about here, now, today, having abundant life now. So your homework this week, it's just kind of follow up with what went on last week with your own heart. Where did you find yourself numb, unfeeling, callous, cynical? Where are the places you want to come alive? Where are the places you want to make a difference? Where are the places that you wish your heart was so big and you had the greatest courage to make a difference? Where in the world does your heart bleed out and go, "Gosh, I wish that wasn't so. I wish we had peace there. I wish we had justice here." Where are those places that there is a spark of life in you and you want to set it ablaze by the power of the Holy Spirit? This fire language, these tongues of fire that we see in the scriptures, it's a sign of passion. An all-consuming passion. When was the last time you felt an all-consuming passion for something? That it just drove you. And you felt so very alive. You youngins, you probably have that. Hold on to it. Because as we get older and the world kicks us around, our fires, they kind of go out. And we have to rekindle the flame. We have to go revisit. Tear down some walls. Take down the blinders. Take the cotton out of our ears. So that we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And a heart full of not just compassion, but a passion to bring forth the kingdom of God, to bring Christ into this world to the fullest of our capabilities. Paul also said, what God has started within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will see to fruition. That what God begins in us, God will not forsake or abandon and go, "Well, this is a lost cause." We feel that sometimes. We feel that about other people. We'll even feel that about ourselves. But God? God's like that guy I saw on the side of the road the other day with the biggest clear garbage bag on his back picking up cans. That when some person threw out of their vehicle, didn't see any redemption but trash, threw it out on the side of the road because he or she couldn't stand to have it in the car with them anymore. This guy was redeeming. This guy saw value in it. That's the power of redemption. That God never gives up on any single one of us. And God gives us the power to do whatever God calls us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the band gets back up on stage, I want to send an invitation to you that if you would like to join this church through affirmation of faith, through transfer of membership, if you would like to become a part of this church family and make this your church home, to come and speak to me during the singing of our last song, and if you would like to give your life to Christ for the first time, come and see me as we stand and sing this song together. Let's stand and sing.